Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Amen. I have to admit, it's a bit daunting to preach when a few minutes ago we heard the greatest and most famous sermon ever given, the Sermon on the Mount. What could I possibly say that Jesus hasn't already said better, and probably in fewer words? My task is made even more daunting by the fact that this section of St. Matthew's Gospel is so well known to many of us that we might well think that there's nothing left in this passage to surprise us as hearers or interpreters. The Sermon on the Mount, and the Beatitudes in particular, the phrases beginning blessed, is something of a manual, famous as a manual of the Christian life. When I first became a Christian in my teens, I would read the Beatitudes every night before bed, because though I had no formal formation in the Christian faith, I had some intuitive sense that this is what I had to do. Over and over again to internalize it, if I was going to make it as a Christian. It was as though I opened up a Christians for Dummies book, the first line of which was, "So you want to be a Christian? Well, read the Beatitudes." Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the pure in heart. I read these words night after night, and I knew that they were meant in some sense to give the blueprint of the Christian life. But I wondered, what is the actual practical shape of that life? In other words, what do these ideals look like on the ground, as it were, when applied to an actual human life? How shall I, here and now, be meek? Be pure-hearted, be a peacemaker. Now, I'm not going to attempt to give a resume of the last 2,000 years of moral theology. You'd probably stone me to death if I tried. I'd like instead to offer a general principle to guide us as we meditate upon these words of Jesus. To understand what Jesus teaches us in the Gospels about what a full Christian life looks like, we must look to Jesus himself and the life that he lived. To understand what Jesus teaches us in the Gospels about what a full Christian life looks like, we must look to Jesus himself and the life that he lived. The reason for this is that the Christian life, in the words of the great Anglican monastic and spiritual director of the last century, Dom Bede Frost, the Christian life, he says, is the life of the first Christian, Jesus Christ, continued in the members of his mystical body, the Catholic Church. In other words, for the Christian, to be meek, to be poor in spirit, to be merciful, indeed, even to mourn properly, is to be meek as Christ was meek. To be poor as Christ was poor. To be merciful as Christ was merciful. And to mourn as Christ mourned. Dom Bede again. The virtues of the Christian life, humility, patience, love, etc., must not be meditated on as abstract principles, but contemplated in the humble, patient, loving Jesus. So we say, blessed are the poor in spirit. Jesus was poor. We know this, of course. His parents brought the poor person's offering when they presented him in the temple. But of course, he was also poor in spirit. He, being in the form and likeness of God, emptied himself and became man, that through his poverty we might become rich and share in the full likeness of God. Blessed are those who mourn. Jesus mourned. We saw him mourning by the tomb of Lazarus in John's Gospel. He wept. He didn't deny the reality of death, but he wept at it. And yet he wept knowing full well that God would raise Lazarus from the dead. He was confident in his mourning that God would bring good even out of this. Blessed are the meek. Jesus was meek. He told his disciples so. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. This meekness was the meekness of the lamb dumb before his shearer. It was the meekness of one totally obedient to the Father's will, but it was also the meekness of the one who scourged the money changers in the temple. It was also the meekness of the one who rebuked the hypocrisy of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, who rebukes even now your and my hypocrisy. The fact is that what we see in the life of Jesus, the way he teaches us to understand the Beatitudes, is by focusing our life totally on God. This is the example he gives us. So you want to be a Christian. So you want to follow the blueprint of the Beatitudes. You want to be meek. You want to be poor in spirit. You want to do the work of a peacemaker, an agent of reconciliation, just as Jesus was. Very good. Well, then let's meet him in the Scriptures. Let's meet him in our life of prayer. Let's meet him in the sacraments and in our neighbor. And when we meet him, we will know him as a model to be imitated. But more than that, we will know him as the one whose power suffuses our life and enables us to will and to do what he wills and does. The more we come to recognize this, the more we shall come to realize that it is not we who live, but Christ who lives in us. Thanks be to God for this, his inestimable gift. Amen.